good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. Thank you for joining the broadcast this morning. Oh, let's see. I have a word for the day, Colossians 2, 8 through 15. Beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy and deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So, anyway, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That was our own personal indictment of sin. I know that some people say that the blotting out of the handwriting of ordinances that was against us was that he nailed the law to the cross. But if he nailed the law to the cross, well, then there's no more sin. So that's obviously wrong. But he nailed our indictment. Because remember, he is our advocate. He's like our lawyer. He stands in for us and says, not guilty. Price has been paid. And gets us acquitted by removing the indictment of our sins against us. Anyway, so that's like the best news there is, is it not? Oh, what are we going to talk about today? Well, in the second hour we got coming up, we're going to talk about the Mark of the Beast. I have the audible version I'm going to play of the Mark of the Beast, and it's chapter 10, has two parts in it. It's the Mark of the Beast chapter. The first part, the first segment will be on the name and the number, and the second one will be on the enforcement in its final form. And I guess we could talk a little bit more about that too, and a few news items and things that are going on, and whatever you want to, whatever you want to talk about. If you want to put it, post anything in the chat room, you got the number there. Well, I don't know. All I get are people that call in and don't say anything. I can't say that all I get, but I get that guy that calls every week. Yeah. And says nothing. So anyway, at least somebody's listening. And thank you for all the people that piled into the chat room there. If you're listening live, come on over. And maybe they'll start having a conversation in the chat room there. And thank you, WW, for the sound check there. He says, as usual, my audio, which is actually going into this mic here, is a couple decibels lower than the commercials. So otherwise, good. Well, glad to hear that. Yeah. Okay, well, what do we got? Well, let's start with some articles and news and stuff. Oh, yeah, last week I gave you guys a video and said, well, try to watch this during the week. I was hoping it would spark some conversation. And just coincidentally, Generations Radio came out and did a broadcast on Q, the phenomenon, the Q. Here we go. Wasn't ready for that, but here we go anyway. Let's see. Push this button and that button. Say your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air. Hey, thank you for calling in early. At least, you know, it's not at the last minute. So we do appreciate that. And you have a hard time speaking, but I hope you don't have a hard time listening. But or something's wrong with your phone. Okay, well, hey, so you had to check in. Yeah. Is it the CIA or is it some coadjutor for the Antichrist? We don't know because he doesn't say anything. But I'm on somebody's radar, and who knows? Yes, who knows? Anyway, back to it. There's the phone number. Thank you for that, WW. Yes. And anyway, let me jump to a couple articles I have here. This one here from Technocracy News. If you know anything about Technocracy News, he was doing a broadcast for a while, and I was playing it for a while, but then he became inconsistent, and so. But anyway, his website and his articles are still great. AI scientist, robot judges will determine cases within 50 years. Well, I believe the crisis is coming back within 50 years, so that may be not a very good speculation, but I'm sure that this is where the technocrats want to go. And you see dystopian movies and series about AI in the future and the things that they're going to do. So these people really believe in their science fiction coming to reality. It's like the whole UBI, you know, universal basic income thing. You know, they had it on Star Trek, so I think we should try that too. Yeah, that looked good on Star Trek, didn't it? You know, you didn't see anybody, you know, I mean, I don't know what they were playing poker for on the Starship Enterprise when they were playing poker, but there was no coins and dollars on there, so they were probably trading duties or something, you know. But, you know, the UBI looks great. Well, we don't worry about food and money and all that anymore. Everybody's taken care of with UBI, you know, universal basic income. But what will that really be like? I mean, it's, you know, we got to look at it. Maybe in a perfect world, you know, maybe in the new heaven and new earth, it will be, you know, we'll have something that implemented where that we won't need money for anything, I'm pretty sure. But in this world where we have the fallen sons and daughters of Adam, it's not ever going to work. We're never going to have a utopia. And they somehow think they're going to get it, but it's not going to happen. But what will happen? You know, I think about, you know, we talked about the Social Security number and how there's a case going on, and because I tried to get a passport without a Social Security number, they denied me. But they gave one to my daughter because, you know, they say that. Here's their case. The case is that they need it. They're telling the court that they need it for identification purposes. Okay? So, but they give my daughter a passport without a Social Security number, and because she doesn't have to, she signed an affidavit saying she never had applied for one or used one because she never has. Okay? Because she was, you know, 17 when we got the passport for her. Okay, but for me, you know, I signed an affidavit saying that I did not apply for a Social Security, but that also gave them a declaration of repentance. You know, I've changed my religion, you know. Now I'm a true Bible believer, and I found out that the Social Security contract is unconscionable. It's against the law of God, and therefore I cannot participate and had to withdraw. Well, they say, well, you have to give us the number anyway. And I said, well, my religion and my repentance, you know, because I carry a document with me. It says notice of right to travel and declaration of repentance. And I think the title says it all. If it doesn't say enough, I've got a whole page. It's two pages double spaced in a legal type format that I carry with me. But anyway, it says it all, so I explained it to him in those two double-spaced pages. But they said, no, because you've used it in the past, You know, we don't care if you've repented. There's no repentance with the Antichrist and his government. Okay? And there's no repentance with them. So no passport for you, right? They're passport Nazis. No passport for you. And so we're fighting that through the courts anyway. But anyway, so here's one thing that's unconscionable about this contract. For instance, okay, I contacted Southern California Edison. You know, they provide the electricity, or they kind of have a monopoly. So they're under governmental governance, you know. They're strictly governed by the state of California because they have a monopoly. Anyway, so I contacted them and I said, well, you know, I want electricity hooked up here in this property and in this house. And they said, well, okay, well, fellow, you know, give us this information. And they wanted a social security number. And, you know, I said, well, I don't have one of those. And they said, oh, well, in that case, because you're not part of our socialist system where you have, what is it, credit rating, and you have no credit rating, well, we can't give you electricity unless you give us a $400 deposit. I said, no problem. They said, we'll even return it after, you know, 90 days or something. And they did. Anyway, so I gave them a $400 cash deposit, and they hooked up the electricity. I didn't have to sign anything. There's no contract. The contract is, here's our service notice or a service agreement. If you accept our service, you agree to these things, okay? You agree to pay us. And so I haven't signed any. I don't have to sign anything, right? Because I don't want anything. We're just doing business here. And so I gave them a deposit as surety so to know that they, I've always paid the electric bill. It's one thing. I overpay it, okay? I try to overpay all my bills, so I'm out there a little bit distant in the future. So I don't have any savings account, so I can save it with them, right? but so let's say you did sign a contract with someone. Say you bought an automobile on time from your local car dealer, and you're going to have to sign a contract from it because you're getting a privilege. You have a private agreement that's only between you and him, and it says that you'll give him the car back. But how about if the contract said this? You know, it said that that the auto dealer who's selling you the car, he can raise the price of the car anytime he wants, change the interest rate. And plus that, if you don't like it, there's nothing you can do about it. Because if you don't do anything about it, the contract stipulates that they can change the contract anytime they want, arbitrarily, unilaterally. So let's say, for instance, the next year comes and you haven't paid your bill in a couple months because the interest has become now so unbearable that you're paying more than the automobile is worth. So they changed the contract because you agreed that they could change the contract anytime they wanted, right? When you signed it, it says the party of the first part may change the contract unilaterally anytime they want. And you signed that. Could you imagine signing a contract? Would you sign a contract like that? And so the auto dealer comes along, you haven't paid your bill, and so he has a little meeting there in his office, and they decide to unilaterally change the contract to say that they can now compensate your property, you know, your home, or anything they can find that's yours, that they can confiscate it to make the payments that you missed. Okay? Would you sign that contract? How about if they said they could take your pension plan? Well, how about if they could, I mean, once, if you can change the contract unilaterally and the other party agreed to it, I mean, they can pretty much do anything they want, can't they? Now, who would sign a contract like that? Let me look in the chat room, see if anybody going, yeah, I think I'd sign that contract. Anybody? Any takers out there? Ah. Well, I have bad news for you. Probably every one of you have signed a contract like that or are under a contract like that because your parents or your guardians, see, because my guardians signed me up, you know, because I was a ward of the state. I was an orphan. And my guardians sign me up. Yeah, and guess where I was? I was in Catholic orphanages for half of my childhood. That's right. And they signed me up. They signed me up, and so they could get money from the state. Now, I come along, and I find out that they signed this unconscionable contract. And now we get back to UBI. Okay? UBI, same thing. Same thing as Social Security. Same thing as SSI, welfare. It's all the same because it's all legislated. And it's all unilateral, but you get to vote once. Yeah. And then you're at the mercy of those that are really in power, which is the Antichrist and his shadow government for the most part. And I think if my interpretation of prophecy is right, that we have here in America, we have a tug of war. We have two equal sides tugging at each other. Yeah. The lamb-like and the dragon speaking. See, the dragon speaking side, you know, they're the ones who want the contract where they're in total control and totalitarian dictatorship, and they can change it any time they want because they don't care about you. They only care about what they want. And loss of liberty is nothing to them because they don't care about liberty either. You know, because they want liberty to do evil. That's what the dragon speaking side. They want liberty to do evil. And of course, the lamb-like part of this nation, you know, those two horns, this is the earth beast, the nation that is typified by the earth beast in the scripture with the two horns, and they're equal in size. One is described as like a lamb and the other as dragon speaking. Oh, it's clear, pretty clear, isn't it now? Well, we had a civil war. See, I think it's always been that way. It's just that we are now in the, we're coming up in the last 40 years before Christ returns. You know, the last 40 years coming up to, you know, the day of God Almighty, the great day of God Almighty, that great judgment that's going to fall on the earth before his millennial reign. Yeah, that one. That great battle's coming up, and those three frog spirits, those three frog-like spirits are at work in the world, and that's why it's so loud now, especially that dragon speaking, you know. Lamb-like is just lamb-like. You know, sheep aren't very loud. I mean, they do some bah. But the dragon speaking stuff, they are typified by the Bible as frogs, you know, and those things never shut up, you know. I mean, look into it. The frog has been a symbol of someone who is loquacious, you know, for thousands of years. So they're getting louder and louder and louder, and they're drowning out everything else. What is all of us lamb-like people supposed to do? Well, I'll tell you what we do. We walk in the Spirit, and we keep being lamb-like, even if it means that we lamb-like have to go to the slaughter, as many of our brethren, as hundreds of millions of our brethren and our Master did. Yeah. Thank you for that, Chuck. Let's see. So, that's the contract you're under. So, you know, I would say if you're going to collect that, and I'm hoping here because, see, I don't collect it. So, you know, if you're collecting it, if you start collecting UBI, the contract that you're going, because you're going to have to sign up somewhere for it. Whether you signed a card to get the bank account that they're putting the money in, somewhere you're going to have to sign up for that UBI, like you sign up for Social Security, like you sign up for some welfare, because the welfare number is guess what number they use for welfare? Yeah, I don't even have to say it, do I? Yeah, it's all welfare, actually, because Social Security is not insurance. Just because they tricked you into believing they made it look like insurance, but it's not. It's always been a tax. Otherwise, it would be illegal. It would have been unlawful. It went through the courts. It's now a tax. They did the same thing with Obamacare. Remember that? They said, oh, we'll call it, if you call it a tax, it'll be constitutional. Because taxes are constitutional. But insurance schemes are not. Welfare is not. But if it's all a tax, then it is. So it's redistribution of wealth. It is Marxist. It is like the Antichrist's favorite form of government. I mean, everywhere you go, everywhere you have totalitarian dictatorship, you have Marxism. Everywhere you see hundreds or tens of millions of people slaughtered for not going along, you have Marxism, the Antichrist's favorite form of government. It's like you go over to China. You know, what is the only official church in China? What is the only one that goes along and loves what they're doing over there? Yeah. The same one that loved, the socialist Germany, what we call the Nazis. Let's just call it what it is. It was Marxist socialist Germany, the National Socialist Party in Germany, Nazis. I love it. They turned around and call us Nazis. These people are really deluded if they really believe that, and many of them do. But the higher-ups, the ones that really pushing the buttons behind the scenes, they know. They know who the real Nazis are, because they are. They love being Nazis. They love the power that it brings to them. Let's see. Carrie Ann in the chat room here says, Trump, went to the Trump rally. It was amazing, and Trump was very genuine, caring, loved us, and the flag. It came through loud and clear, that much is sure. Yeah. Well, I just hope to see some differences now that he'll have a much firmer grip on the government getting in, because his first 4 years he spent fighting and trying to get his footing, and that he did a lot of vacillating there too. So hopefully he's got his footing now and he can do really what he can do that lamb-like stuff for the next 4 years. I'm hoping. There's no hope with Joe Biden getting anything lamb-like going through. If Trump came here near me, I'd go too. Yeah, I would. Yeah. But yeah, I believe that he is very genuine. And I believe that he is what you see. I see what you see is what you get with Trump. I think that I see that in him. So, and I hope it's true. Jesuit fiend says, Carrie Ann, you're either deceived or a deceiver. Donald J. Trump is Rome's perfect psychological operation. Well, you could say that too. They are manipulating him. And when they can't manipulate him, if he finds his footing and stands up against him, they will try to kill him, because that's what they do. Yeah. We already have history on that one. It does appear that more that way to me, says Chuck. I don't know what he's, which way. We should only trust Jesus and not put, yes, absolutely. You know, that's what it gets down to. Okay, we're going into a break. We'll be back in a few minutes and we'll continue the conversation there. Don't go anywhere.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today. so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Okay, we are back. Wow. There's no hope in the governments of men. You know, I'll grant you that. Are there a few good men in government? Yeah, but what can they really affect? Not a whole lot. Perhaps they can hold things at bay for a while. But men can change. And I would continue to pray for someone like Donald Trump, that he could change and maybe affect some good change in America, maybe hold back the tide for a while. But then I have to turn to the prophecy, you know. And if these two horns are equal throughout the life of this beast, the dragon speaking and the lamb like, then we can hold some kind of equilibrium of power here. I think we still have to fight for even that perhaps we will not be completely overrun by evil here. But our hope is not in, it's not in the governments of men, because there's no hope there. We see that the Antichrist and his minions have infiltrated everything, and they're everywhere. Otherwise, we wouldn't be fighting. The battle wouldn't be raging as hotly as it is raging in the governments of men. Yeah. So that's what we can do. And as far as Q and on, well, I wouldn't put any hope in that at all. At least Donald Trump, during that one debate that he had with the moderator there in Florida, I believe it was, because he was debating the moderator. It was a town hall meeting. So what they had was Trump debating the moderator and taking a few questions from people in the audience, I guess. But when she tried to grill him on Q, he said, well, I don't know anything about Q. And what else could he say? Who doesn't know anything about Q? There's just some postings on a website somewhere, right? Maybe he does, and maybe he doesn't know more than he's letting on, but he's under no obligation to fess up. But he did say what he could say about them. He says, I know that they're against pedophilia and child trafficking, and I'm for that, you know. And they think along the same lines as I do. I'm against it too. Yeah. So anyway, let's see. Trump has the most chance to pull a JFK. With Biden, there's no chance. And yeah, that video that I gave you last week, it was, I guess the proposal underlying it is that JFK faked his own death. Because, you know, he was going to run for Senate. And Hillary Clinton was going to run for Senate. And perhaps they took Junior, you know, JFK Jr. aside and said, and they gave him the facts. Hey, look, we killed your father. We killed your brother. We shot Reagan, you know. We also killed Lincoln. Yeah, and look at all these other deaths. You ever hear of the Clinton body count? So, you know. This seat belongs to Hillary. And, you know, she did get that seat after the plane crash and JFK disappeared from the scene. She did get that seat. And, you know, and so here's the conspiracy theory of it, is that JFK decided then to fake his own death and work behind the scenes. Yeah. To become a shadow. And Trump was in on it because, of course, at that time, both Trump and JFK, both New Yorkers, were friends. Okay? And you can verify that for yourself by doing a search on. So, you know, there's these facts that kind of line up with the conspiracy theory. It might be true. You know, we kind of hope that it was, that JFK is going to pop up here one day and the world and the United States is going to rally around him. And that would be great, you know, but I wouldn't count on it because right now what we do, the facts are we have Trump. So, and he's got 4 more years, you know, unless, you know, Joe Biden has really had tens of thousands of people showing up for his rallies and people are excited about Joe Biden. I mean, I'm in California. California will go with Biden because I'm not in the big cities. But you got Sacramento, you got, you know, L.A., you got Simi Valley or Silicon Valley, you got San Francisco. I mean, you got all of the huge populations that just weigh heavy on the rest of the state. They will run because it doesn't matter. These people don't care about, you know, Joe Biden's crookedness, about his crimes. They don't care. They think all that's great that he could do that because they would love to do those things. So they're for all that stuff. That's how most of these people think. They admire him for his crimes, okay? The people that know. And the other ones are just deceived. Oh, you know, because Joe Biden says, oh, well, that's just a smear campaign. Oh, okay, but we want to believe that's a smear campaign, so we're going to believe what Joe says rather than the facts, you know, or it's conspiracy theory. So California is going for Joe Biden no matter what. But I'll tell you, right down, I can drive down the street here, and I see one Joe Biden sign on one house, and then another house I see a Trump Pence sign, and all the rest of the houses have no signs whatsoever. So where I'm at, it's a toss up, right? But when you count the crowds of people that actually show up and are excited, well, that tells me more than anything else that this election, and plus the mainstream media is still saying that Joe Biden's ahead. But now lately they're saying, oh, it's a tight race, but Joe Biden's only ahead by a few points now rather than 10 or 12 like he was, you know, 3 weeks ago. So because they're just trying to rally their troops. So we'll see what happens. That's all we can do. We can't put our faith in that, because if the Antichrist gets his way and they get all of, you know, they take over the election, because they're working really hard at it, you know, because cheaters, the Antichrist, they work for the devil, man. They work for Satan. And Satan doesn't mind cheating. He just needs to get away with it. Or not, depending on who's watching, because the people that are on his side, they want him to cheat. They want him to get away with it. They don't care about the truth. So, but in a nation that's equally divided, that you have this lamb-like side, this lamb-like horn, and then you have the dragon-speaking horn, well, you know, you have to at least pretend like you're not cheating. You have to, for the lamb-like, you know, contingent over there, you have to pretend like you're not cheating. So we'll see. And yeah, Reform, somebody said to look up the dinner. Yeah, what's that dinner called? Let's see. Oh, the Al Smith dinner. Yeah, I have to look that up. And I didn't look at it this year, but you know, they're invited to these things, and whether they agree or not, or, you know, like someone like Trump, I think he'd go to this dinner. He wouldn't have a clue what's going on behind the scenes. He doesn't know who the Antichrist is. You know, all the people that he hangs, all the Christians he hangs out are evangelical dispensationalists. And they don't see, they're the ones who go, oh, we can't know who the Antichrist is. That's what they've been brainwashed with, counter-reformation eschatology. But that doesn't mean they're not saved, that their sins aren't paid for by Christ, because they're deceived eschatologically. Because there's a lot of people like that. Yeah. And all the Christians hanging out with Christ, hanging out with Trump are like that too. So as far as figuring out that he's sitting, and this cardinal sitting next to him with the fish hat on, or, well, I don't know if they wear the fish hats to dinner, but they have their yarmulkes, you know, because they are the Pharisees of the church. They are the scribes and Pharisees, the hypocrites of the church. Whereas the scribes and Pharisees were of antiquity, of Jesus' day, they were of the nation Israel, you know, which was God's church on earth as a nation. So there's no way he would even have a clue that is what's going on there. So if you look at it in the light of this guy's clueless, his Christianity is just, I mean, if he's one of the elect, he doesn't even know it. And if his Christianity, he's just a baby Christian at the time, because it seems like there has been a change in this man over 4 years. I've seen there's a trajectory there. And it is, I believe it's real, and I hope it's real, and that's why I continue to pray for the man. Hey, I wasn't very much when I started my Christian walk, let me tell you. It's been a lot of growing. It's taken me, what, 45, whatever, 7 years to get from there to here. And I still, you know, I mean, there's a lot of changing. You know, God can still do a lot of shaping and molding here if I'm around until he comes. Or around here another 20 years or 35 years or 40 years. As I believe we're less than 40 years away from, the resurrection event, the seventh millennium and the millennial reign of Christ. Of course, I don't believe in the raptures. Yeah, you all know that. You've all read my book. When the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. If you haven't, you know, go to my website, go to the free ebook tab there, and make sure you request this. Let's see. Oh, what do we got in the chat room here? Yes, JFK, the man truly thought he could be president, went against his Roman masters, and was murdered. And that's why JFK Jr., they say, and I hope JFK Jr. is still alive. You know, I mean, it was a terrible tragedy when he was killed. Look at his brother, man, truly a warrior for the truth, Robert. You know, with his Children's Defense Fund thing going over there. He's fighting the fight, man, and it's a terrible fight. It's not easy. You know, it's the whole world against him because he's sticking to the truth there. And I believe that JFK Jr. would have was the one who would have walked in his father's shoes and become president easily. And I believe if he reappeared and told the truth, boy, he better have some security around him. I'll tell you that much. Because I just pray that if he is alive, that he has uncovered the truth and the awful truth, you know, that no Catholic would want to believe. Yeah. I believe that's why they killed his father, because he was a Catholic who saw the awful truth and realized who the Antichrist was and who really was behind the scenes pushing and behind it all, behind the CIA, yeah, nicknamed Catholics in Action. And see, there's the thing, you know, even Trump, everyone around him, you know, there are coadjutors for the Antichrist in his very, they're around him. I mean, it's a battle, even in the White House for him. When you look at his own staff, you see they're Antichrist coadjutors. They're on his staff, in his very government. So what do you expect? Well, you expect what you see. Yeah. Let's see. The Jesuits are using Trump to sway the emotions of the dumbed-down people. Trump is a psychological operation or psyop against the American people. He's the clown, the jester, the bumbling buffoon, the joker, the mad hatter, and any other actor, trickster. Yeah, that's his role. Well, he certainly is. He certainly is being manipulated and has been manipulated. But is he a willing participant? Yeah. Well, we'll see. Time will tell, you know. And when Jesus comes, we'll sort it out. I hope to see him in the resurrection. But if he's not there, Jesuit Vina, I'll find you and say, hey, you were right, man. What else could I do? But you can't even say whether you're right for now or not. The opposite a short time later, Trump is the confuser, the successful loser, and nobody knows what to make of him. Is he an idiot or is he smart? Well, we'll find out, won't we? Yeah. Yes, and then we have Jesuit Fiend, who calls himself a Jesuit, who names himself by the word Jesuit in the chat room here. Who is this shady guy in the chat room who calls himself Jesuit F-I-E-N? Is that Feinstein? Feinstein? Yes, he says, that's the truth. Disagree to your own peril. Will it be to our own peril? Well, Carrie Ann, I'm with you. Let's believe the best, you know. Let's pray for the man. Yeah. Because it matters not if he's able to accomplish what he wants to accomplish or not. Because if he goes too far, he probably knows there's a bullet waiting for him. Yeah. And they're likely, or the poison cup. Yeah. Yep. Well, that's true, but, you know, when you have people that are stupid and don't know, they could end up in some place like Georgetown, this prominent university, you know, because they don't know who the Antichrist is. Just like most of so-called Protestant evangelical Christianity out there, they've been brainwashed. You can't know who the Antichrist is. He will not be revealed until the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. Thus saith the Word of God, according to our Jesuit Counter-Reformation interpretation, which we have taught to you in all your seminaries. Isn't that what's really going on, Jesuit Fiend and Reform P in the chat room there? Isn't that what's really going on? Yeah. So I'll believe the best and I'll pray. I'll pray anyway. Yeah. I can pray for you, everyone that hears my broadcast. He's a modern-day Cyrus. There's a lot going on, isn't there? I think he's doing a lot over there in the Mideast. He believes it's the right thing. Even his son-in-law believes it's the right thing, but they're falling right into the hands of the Antichrist and his shadow government, even what they're doing over in the Mideast. But that's fine. That's fine. I want them to have the rapture play. Let's get it out and nobody gets raptured. I want them to build the Abrahamic thing on the Temple Mount. Okay? The three Abrahamic faces coming together on the Temple Mount. I want that to happen. So I'm glad he's over there doing these things and getting it done for the Antichrist. So we can out it. We can get it done with. We can answer the question. There is no rapture. It's an Antichrist lie. And when it doesn't happen, God's elect will have to wake up. At least the elect. The rest of those, the pseudo-Christians, the make-believers out there, the ones that are not true believers, well, they'll go along, or they'll just say, oh, well, they were wrong. The Bible's wrong, man. There's no raptures. Yeah, Pope Francis, he's right, man. I think I'm going to become a Catholic. Yeah. And that's the right one. They were right all along. That millenarian stuff, man, that's a heresy. They were right. They've been telling us that for 500 years. Yeah, that's what the Antichrist wants to get out of the Temple Mount play. That's why he's over there doing the Abraham Accord in the UAE and other Islamic states over there. Yeah, because they're going to bring it. Like I said in my book in 2017, they're going to bring the Abrahamic Accord to the Temple Mount. Let's see. No, God can use a donkey. Let's see. Per Trump, like Jesus, he did not entrust himself to them because he knew what was in man. At least he professes a conservative platform. And know the devil's devices, Nicholas. Reform P. I don't know what the P stands for. Is it a Reformed Protestant? I hope so. Well, I am a Reformed Protestant. And know the devil's devices. Well, I do know the devil's devices. Yeah. Yes. I mean, Jesus even had to say to Peter, get thee hence, Satan. Whoa, Peter. Yeah, Peter. So, you know. Perhaps Donald Trump is just a Peter, just stupidly doing stuff the best he can with the little information that he has, or misinformation. Yeah, we can hope the best. Anyway, let's see. Very kind of Nicholas to allow someone who's claiming to be a Jesuit like. Yeah. Okay, well, I don't know about that. Oops, let's stop that. Let's see what I got going here. In the meantime, we can still have some freedom to preach the gospel. Enjoy while you can. Thank you for that, Carrie. And that's what I'm doing. You know, I'm going to stay on YouTube and all this stuff and keep proclaiming the truth until they take me off, too. That's fine. And then if I can't do this, then, you know, then I'll start treading the streets, man. Here in my town, yeah. That's what I'll do. Whatever I have to do. I never claimed to be a Jesuit. Be mindful of your fault. Well, then you better change your name in the chat room there, Jesuit Fiend. Or Jesuit F-E-I-N, F-I-E-N. Whether you're claiming Jesuit there in the name. So you can't say I never claimed to be a Jesuit. Be mindful of your false accusation. My username is actually Jesuit Fiends. And, well, gee, that doesn't change a thing. You telling us that what your username actually is, it kind of bolsters the argument against it in reference to satanic foot soldiers we're up against. So then you should call yourself anti-Jesuit fiends, okay? Yeah, or call yourself anti-Jesuit. That would be better. That would explain it then, okay? So come back next week and call yourself anti-Jesuit, okay? And then we won't have to say, oh, he's a Jesuit, or, you know, look, he claims he's using the name. Yeah, but, yeah, I get what you're saying, man. You know, I have no reason to doubt you. Also, there's a character limit in this chat interface that limits, because people were having like 25 characters. Their usernames were taking up all the space, so I limited it to 10. So, yeah, I know that because I did it. I put the limit to 10 characters on there. Yeah, because people were putting like whole sentences in and stuff. So, yeah. Okay, so you have 10 characters, and that includes spaces to work with on your usernames in the chat room. So let's try to get a little more concise, okay, if you can. Or just use your name, you know. If your name's George, then use George. I mean, we still don't know who you are or where you're from or what your address is. Well, we might know where you're from when you log in, you know, because someone in here is from near Portsmouth, Ohio. Okay, I don't know if that's exactly because, you know, I've shown up depending on what service you use to log in from different towns on the same thing. So we know that you're in that locality and your name might be George, but I know Carrie Ann is Carrie Ann because we have other contacts. She supports us at times. Yeah, I don't know who supports us. I don't pay much attention to that. I have a treasurer who takes care of all that stuff because I want to treat everybody out here the same, whether they support us or not. And I think that's the way most pastors are, or at least most Reformed pastors. They let someone else handle who gives and who doesn't so they can treat everyone the same. They don't know who gives and who doesn't. Because, or how much who gives and who gives more and who gives less and whatever. Yeah, I don't want to know that, all that. Okay. Mercury Fall. Well, I see that you that possibility of being maligned by cutoff, but that's only, I have no idea what that sentence means. Okay. So anyway, we're getting to the end of this hour. It's been fun just chatting and conversing with you guys in the chat room. And in the next hour, we're going to get into the Mark of the Beast. So I hope you all enjoy that. But as always, it's more important that you're actually walking with Jesus and that you're walking on the narrow way that leads to life. So may the Almighty bless you and keep you. Until we meet again. Yeah, never depart from it. Keep your eye on the prize. See you next time. Yeah, I'm off.
Where can I go? What can I do? The choices I've been making are pleasing you. Where can I hide? Where can I run? Temptation is taking my first love. I need you. What can I say? What must I?
First on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Keene. No deal yet, but the Speaker of the House and the Treasury Secretary are inching closer to an agreement on coronavirus-related stimulus. Jared Halpern has the latest.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin will resume negotiations today after a 45-minute conversation yesterday provided what a spokesperson for Pelosi called more clarity and common ground. A final agreement could top $2 trillion in coronavirus-related spending and economic stimulus, a figure far higher than the $500 billion measure Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is offering today.
It does address an awful lot of things that we do agree on.
McConnell says if a presidentially supported bill wins House approval, the Senate would, at some point, consider it. On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz says big tech is helping out Joe Biden by muting any negative stories about him.
The media hates the president. We know that. Many mainstream media outlets have just lost it in their loathing for him. But big tech, we've been seeing for several years now a growing pattern of big tech censoring conservatives, shadow banning conservatives, silencing views they don't like.
Speaking on Hannity, Cruz also said he believes Democrats will pack the court if Joe Biden wins.
They will pack the court if they win. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they won't answer that question because the answer is yes.
Attorney General Bill Barr addresses the nation's police officers, Jeff Manasso reports.
In a keynote address for the National Association of Police Organizations Tuesday, U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr called efforts to defund police wrong.
But I reject the idea as a general matter that the police departments in our country are broken.
And the Attorney General blaming rising crime rates in major U.S. cities on prosecutors who he says have gone soft on crime.
Now, they'll prosecute cops, but they don't lift a finger against the criminals.
The Department of Justice surged federal agents and resources in nine American cities where shootings and murders have skyrocketed. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
It's being considered great news for women and children. Chris Woodward has more on a federal court's ruling in favor of an abortion law.
In a 2-1 ruling, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld a Kentucky law that requires abortion clinics have written agreements with a hospital and an ambulance service in case of medical emergencies. The law dates back to 1998, and a federal district judge ruled against the law, saying it violated constitutionally protected due process rights. Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life.
The Court of Appeals upholding the Kentucky law is great news for women and children.
The American Civil Liberties Union of Kentucky represented abortion clinics in the case. The law firm can either appeal to the full circuit or ask the U.S. Supreme Court to hear the case.
We have seen the Supreme Court rule in both Louisiana and Texas that the abortionist does not have to have admitting privileges at a local hospital. And yet in the last decision coming out of Louisiana, Chief Justice Roberts made kind of a switch in the ruling, saying that abortion facilities don't have to just prove that the burden of this law outweighs the benefits that are achieved by it, but he is now saying that it has to create a substantial obstacle or burden. And the Circuit Court of Appeals here has decided that admitting privileges at a local hospital is not a substantial burden.
I'm Chris Woodward.
Another meteor shower tonight.
The Orionid meteor shower might be visible in the sky above you tonight. It's been going on for a few days, but astronomers believe tonight could bring the most activity. These meteors are actually chunks of rock or ice cast off by the well-known and much-loved 1980s phenomenon, Halley's Comet, which circles the inner solar system and presents itself to Earthlings every 76 years or so. Tonight's shooting stars will be traveling as fast as 148,000 miles an hour. Eben Brown, Fox News.
American Family News is online at onenewsnow.com. I'm Rusty Pugh.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, Chapter 10, The Mark of the Beast. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Revelation 13:16-18. The name and number. It may be unclear whether the antecedent earth beast or the image be the nominative to the verb causeth, with which the passage above opens. For the image is but a construct instigated by the earth beast on behalf of the sea beast, and the earth beast, one of several agents or superintendents, in order to the fulfillment of the enactments of the image. As to the requirement that all should be made to receive in their right hand or in their forehead the mark, name, or number of the beast, it has been so well and fully illustrated by former commentators in regard to the number from customs prevalent in the Roman world about the time of St. John, and its application to the papacy has been so clearly shown that we have little more to do here than to abridge them from E. B. Eliot's Horae Apocalypticae. I now proceed to show the application of all this to the papacy. 1. As to the beast's name and its papal application, the prophetic statement is thus made in numerical enigma. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. There are two things to be premised. First, the number 666, given in the usual text, is unquestionably correct, for Irenaeus, in the most positive manner, so states it, and also Hippolytus. Nor, of the many solutions suggested by the fathers, is there any one founded on any other number. 2. There is the highest probability of the language and number of the word meant being Greek and not Hebrew, because the Apocalypse was intended for the use of the Gentiles, to whom Hebrew was scarcely known, and because the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet are expressly selected by Christ in the Apocalypse, and not those of the Hebrew, to express his eternity. I am Alpha and Omega, saith the Lord. Because the numerals in which the enigma is expressed are Greek numerals, and because Irenaeus directly asserts, and all the other early fathers imply, by making their solutions in Greek, that that was understood by them to be the language intended by the divine spirit. Other languages beside Greek and Hebrew I conceive to be out of the question, more especially in the imperfect numerals of the Latin language. There is no example so early. These two things premised, we proceed to the solution of the enigma. and inference of the name from the number given. Nor can I conceive of any name more appropriate, and in every point satisfactory, than the famous name given by Irenaeus, itself the name of a man, vis-a-vis of the father of the Latin race, Latinus, and of which the numeral value is exactly 666. It seems to me, he says, very probable, since this is the name of the last of Daniel's four kingdoms, they being Latins that now reign. He mentions, besides, it is true, two other names in the way of solution, one only in passing, the other under an impression of its being, even yet more probably than Latinus, the word meant, because judged by him to be a fit name for the last Roman ruler, in other words, Antichrist, before the grand consummation. But the reason he offers seem comparatively insufficient. And Hippolytus, his disciple and follower not very long after, both in the episcopate and in martyrdom, urges the probability of the same name, with much more distinctness and decision of judgment in its favor, and this for the very reason previously suggested by Irenaeus, vis-a-vis, that it was the name of the holders of the fourth prophetic empire, which empire he knew was to continue, though changed, and under the new heading of Antichrist, till Christ's second coming, to take the kingdom with his saints. It is manifest to all, he says, when speaking of the new head accruing to the Roman beast, after the healing of its deadly wound, for they who now reign are Latins, and the name, transmuted into that of an individual, becomes Latianus. I shall presently have to show the peculiar appropriateness in this point of view of the name Latinos, an appropriateness very far greater than Irenaeus or Hippolytus imagine. But let me, before doing so, notice two objections that have been urged against it. One, the least important, is this, that it is a word indeterminate in itself, whether to be taken as an adjective or substantive. But where the force of such an objection? The adjective, Latinos, taken as a local appellative, might just as fitly be a predicted title of Antichrist, as Nazarene of Christ. The second and principal objection is that the orthography of the Greek word gives the number 661, not 666, and both Bellarmine and yet more Bengel and I.E. Clark after him have asserted that such is the universal spelling of the word in ancient authors. That this, however, is not the case appears even from the quotation just given from Hippolytus, to whom they make no reference, for he writes both the same, like Irenaeus, and does not seem, any more than the earlier father, even to imagine an objection on this score. Now the competency and learning of both of these fathers is undoubted. And as regards Irenaeus, his attention appears to have been directed, and his discrimination exercised, as will presently be seen, on this very point of the use of the diphthong. I may add further that Andreas, another learned Greek father, who lived some three centuries later, retained the word as one of the admissible solutions, and turning from later to more ancient authors, it was so written, as Dr. Moore observes, by the old Roman poet Ennius, a man among the most learned of his age. Also, as Professor Stewart adds, by the poet Plautus, and, as Eichhorn, Heinrichs, and more recently Mr. Rabbit have observed, upon an ancient bust of Terence, the Latian siren. The truth is, it was one out of two methods of writing the long Greek lat in not uncommon use, in regard of the propriety of which authors differed, and fashions changed, just as among ourselves on the question of spelling Wycliffe or Shakespeare with a final E or without it. Of this, we have abundant evidence in inscriptions on metals and on antiques still extant of the age referred to, more especially appellatives homogeneous with the word in question, such as Antoninus, Musitinus, etc., etc. They are found, not very rarely, as Mr. Clark would have it, but very commonly thus written. Hence, the critics and antiquarians of different creeds, and without any bias on prophetic theories, unite in asserting its legitimacy. The Benedictine, Montfaucon, having occasion to speak of Mithras on the Gnostic gems as numerically equivalent to 365, states the required orthography to be after the same fashion, and most common, and what is more, cites Jerome, speaking of this spelling of the word numerically, as if in no way strange or incorrect. In truth, looking at the words given by ancient writers as words of mystic numerals, it strikes me that this, the most antique method of writing, was almost made a point of in framing the verbal mystery or enigma, so that the objection from the spelling falls to the ground, if I mistake not altogether. And the word Latianos, originally recommended by the high double authority of Irenaeus and Hippolytus, and recommended yet more by its own intrinsic appropriateness, its number, in the word's usual mystic orthography, 666, its name, that of a man, and name too of the then holders of that fourth of the four great mundane empires, out of which the Antichrist was to rise, stands forth for our acceptance, disencumbered on this point, and free. And indeed, in this last-mentioned point of view, vis-a-vis, as a popular and local appellative, it had, when applied to the last or anti-Christian head and form of the Roman beast, an appropriateness unfolded in subsequent history that the fathers little anticipated, an appropriateness such that I doubt not, had Irenaeus known it, he would have regarded the name as not merely one out of two almost equally probable solutions, but the only and all but certain solution. It is this. In the time of Irenaeus, though the then reigning empire and nation might be called, as he observes, Latins, yet the appellative so applied was unusual. The nation being Romans, the language only called Latin. But so it was that a few centuries after, when the Western Empire had broken up into 10 barbaric kingdoms, with Rome as their common religious center and capital, preparatory, according to prophecy, to the development of Antichrist, so it was, I say, that just at that critical conjuncture, the Eastern, separating themselves from the nations of the West, instead of the national appellation of Greeks, which more properly belonged to them, somewhat remarkably appropriated to themselves the distinctive appellative of Romans, and affixed those to the Western kingdoms, one and all connected with Rome, and indeed precisely on account of their connection with Rome, the very appellative of Latins here predicted in the enigma, nor did the latter fail to accept and adopt the title, so that it became thenceforward the peculiar distinctive title of the Roman Empire in its last form, including both body and head. It was the Latin world, the Latin kingdoms, the Latin church, the Latin patriarch, the Latin clergy, the Latin councils. Indeed, the Romanists of the West did on their part whatever might yet add more to the appropriateness of the apocalyptic appellation. To use Dr. Moore's words, they Latinize in everything. Mass, prayers, hymns, litanies, canons, decretals, bulls are conceived in Latin, the papal councils speak in Latin, the scripture is read in no other language under popery than Latin. In short, all things are Latin. I subjoin in a note a few other of the more remarkable solutions of the apocalyptic numeral enigma bearing on the papacy, not as intending in the slightest measure to interfere with that which I have urged as the one and only true solution, but that which alone completely answers to every requirement of the sacred enigma, and which I therefore fully and unhesitatingly believe to be the one intended by the Spirit, is Irenaeus's solution, Latianos, or Latinus, and the total failure of every solution of other tendency, I mean of every one of which the object has been to turn away the application from the papacy to some quite different enemy or supposed enemy of Christ's Church, whether pagan, Protestant, or Islam, has only served to make it the more remarkable and the more convincing. Enforcement in its final form. We have seen in the pre-Reformation and Reformation history the enforcement of prohibitions, confiscations, and forfeiture of life, liberty, and property against hundreds of millions of those whom that great apostate church deemed to be heretics. And we notice that this same beast with the mark, number, and name is given new life, perhaps somewhat clandestinely, when the wounded head is healed and regains control of, and again mounts the beast, with the help of its companions, the two-horned earth beast, and the image it creates. And how that when her past judgment and wounding came, that such judgment fell upon those which had the mark of the beast, as well as the seed of the beast. We understand by verse 18, it is the number of a man, and his number is, that the beast derives its number from the man who represents or heads it, the man of sin, Daniel's little horn, the Antichrist, the Latin man. But here, in conjunction with the earth beast and its image, a peculiarity in a universal requirement for the mark of the beast, in order to buy or sell, would seem to bring about a worldwide condition where the Antichrist will dominate or supplant the monetary systems of the entire world, so that they could exclude those who will not capitulate, but instead choose to live in obedience to the true gospel of Christ and his kingdom, so that they will be disqualified from his universal system of buying and selling. It seems the great panic of 2020 has only clarified our view of this future. Here I subjoin a contemporary treatise on the premise, The Mark of the Beast. The January 1988 issue of The Economist magazine had emblazoned on its cover, Get Ready for a World Currency. The title of the article, Get Ready for the Phoenix, begins, 30 years from now, Americans, Japanese, Europeans, and people in many other rich countries, and some relatively poor ones, will probably be paying for their shopping with the same currency. Prices will be quoted not in dollars, yen, or D-marks, but in, let's say, the Phoenix. The Phoenix will be favored by companies and shoppers because it will be more convenient than today's national currencies, which by then will seem a quaint cause of much disruption to economic life in the last 20th century. At the beginning of 1988, this appears to be an outlandish prediction. The author's quaint cause of much disruption, which began about 2008, remains a growing and harsh reality that is systematically destroying national economies around the globe. The end game spelled out clearly 30 years in advance. The article continues, this points to a muddled sequence of emergency, followed by a patch-up, followed by emergency, stretching out far beyond 2018. Except for two things. As time passes, the damage caused by currency instability is gradually going to mount, and the very trends that will make it mount are making the utopia of monetary union feasible. The Economist article concludes, pencil in the phoenix for around 2018, and welcome it when it comes. The cashless society is almost here, and with some very sinister implications. A November 2012 Patrick Henningsen article, so titled, In the Midst of Our Growing Financial Crisis, begins, among the long list of items bundled by consensus reality merchants under the banner of conspiracy theory is a world without cash, where technocrats rule over the populace, and everything and anything is exchanged via plastic and RFID chips, he continues. What few counted on, however, was how the final push would take place and why. Some will be surprised by these new emerging mechanisms and the political and sinister implications they will ultimately lead to. And the author posits, every revolution needs a good crisis in order to germinate its seed. The cashless revolution is no different. It should be abundantly clear by now that the global financial meltdown has been engineered at every juncture of its unfolding by the very private central banks who expand and contract the money supply. A dollar or euro collapse will trigger a global economic crisis, which is a prime opportunity to introduce the next phase. Our author admits, it is arguable that we are approaching the cusp of that U.S. dollar collapse, and perhaps a euro implosion on the back end of it. Risks of hyperinflation are very real here, but if you control the money supply, you might already have a ready-made solution waiting in the wings. You will not be worrying about the rift, only waiting for the chaos to ensue, so as to maximize your own booty from the crisis. He also reports, economics professor Miles Kimball from the University of Michigan thinks he knows the answer, and I quote, in short, for a smooth transition, a reintroduced mark needs to be an electronic mark. I recently made the case for the electronic dollar in a previous Quartz column, e-money, how paper currency is holding the U.S. recovery back. Patrick then does an adequate job of weaving Bitcoin, EBT, electronic benefits transfer, and social engineering as the darker side of the technological leap. He concludes the article, the financial collapse which began in 2007-2008 was merely the opening gambit of the elite criminal class, a mere warm-up for things to come. With the next collapse, we may see a centrally controlled global digital currency gaining its final foothold. The cashless society is already here. The question now is, how far will society allow it to penetrate and completely control each and every aspect of their day-to-day lives? The Bible exposes Satan's intent in the unfolding transgenerational conspiracy, implemented primarily by his ignorant and unwitting subordinates upon all the inhabitants of the earth. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Ezekiel 28:16. Chapter 13 of the book of Revelation tells us that Satan will set up a monetary system through the final governments of men under his control, which will require all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Chapter 13, 16 through 17.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Reform Prophecy Interpretation, Chapter 10, The Mark of the Beast, Continued. Bible defined. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Revelation 13:15-18. What we learn to identify the mark of the beast is that the second beast, whom we have identified as America, creates an image, the United Nations, to rule the world as at one time did the Roman Empire, the first beast. Now the military arm of the United Nations is headquartered in the District of Columbia, one of the cities of the empire. In verse 12 it is stated, of the U.S. government, he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. America has filled this role as the world's primary policeman for the last half century through the UN. That America is alluded to as the primary enforcer of the mark of the beast and the worship of the image, obedience to the UN power, should not be surprising. Rather, it is a confirmation of our interpretation. We also learn that the primary application and lure of the mark of the beast system is monetary, so that no one will be able to buy or sell in the beast system without it. Therefore, we need a biblical understanding of money. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Proverbs 11:1. A just weight and balance are the Lord's, Proverbs 16:11. And if thy brother be waxen poor, thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase, Leviticus 25:35-37. A just weight and a balance are the Lord's. This quote defines a monetary system of honest substance, like gold and silver, or any other commodity by weight. The mark of the beast monetary system is Satan's money, and antithetical to biblical financial principles. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. It is also the foundation of Satan's monetary system, money without commodity or substance. Now, what if you had a monetary system where all of this money was created by usury out of thin air? When we weigh our present-day monetary systems in the light of God's Word, it becomes easy to determine that the fiat usury money of today is not God's money, but Satan's. It is therefore only logical that the final mark of the beast system will incorporate these evils at an unprecedented level. The introduction of a totally digital currency will be the pinnacle of these satanic principles in practice. Upon the introduction of the final mark of the beast financial system, I believe we will see a creeping enforcement that will quickly outlaw every form of financial exchange outside the digital mark system. Because I practice living without the New World Social Order numbering system for 20 plus years now, I have experienced this creeping exclusion from financial system privileges such as banking and borrowing, credit or debit cards, and commercial as well as driver's licensing, to name a few. This process will be exacerbated upon the introduction of the final digital mark system, even to the exclusion of paying property taxes. As practiced during the inquisitions of history, the property of heretics, those who will then not comply with the New World Social Economic Order, will again be confiscated, but by the state for non-payment of taxes. Same effect. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14:9-13. Most people of the world will transition into the mark of the beast system without a whimper, as they are already idolaters and worshippers of Satan, at least in practice, if not overtly, and they will quickly turn on those who do not comply. Though they may escape the wrath of the powers that be, they will not escape the wrath of God, whose wrath will have eternal consequences. Those righteous who overcome or get victory over the beast, image, and mark will likely do so at the peril of their mortal lives, which lives they accept as perishing anyway, rather having their eyes set upon the prize of eternal life through Jesus the Messiah and Redeemer of mankind. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Revelation 20:4. The primary attribute of those who overcome the mark of the beast is that they keep the commandments of God. The sad fact of the corporate, in bed with the state, church, has taught that the commandments of God were nailed to the cross will leave many of these corporation-churched and nominal Christians totally unprepared to recognize or effectively stand against the mark of the beast. They have been told that God's law was only for the Jews back then, and we do not have to carry that heavy burden. The corporate hirelings lead people up to the kingdom, but do not suffer them to enter, because they do not go in themselves. They deny the power of the kingdom. The power of any kingdom is found in its law. Matthew 23:13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. The same author has some ideas as to what differentiates this demonic money system from that established by our Creator, as well as its implementation, with which we will end this section. 666 and the Mark of the Beast. What is it? And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Revelation 13:16-17. The mark of the beast, and the name of the beast, and the number of his name, 666, are not all the same thing, as most people believe. The number of his name, 666, is for us to identify the head of the beast that received the wound by the sword and did live, because it is the number of a man, or succinctly, the position that is filled by a man. I believe that we have successfully identified both of the Revelation 13 beasts and this wounded head in our prior chapters. The mark of the beast is to identify the people that belong to the beast in this final era. The shocking truth is that the Bible does not require that this final era be confined to a mere 7 or 3.5 year period of time. It is only shocking because most people, especially Christians, have been taken in by the great prophecy delusion and its 7-year tribulation deception. In 2009, India began its UID program to biometrically ID its 1.2 billion citizens, 1/6 of the world's population. They hope to have 600 million enrolled by the end of 2014 and to be able to enroll another 1 million per day about the same time. This means that if all goes well, it will take at least 2 additional years to number the remaining 600 million citizens. A Wired article proclaims, "The technological problems may pale compared to the potential civil liberties issues." Anti-Aadhaar protesters showed up at Niall Kani's January speech at the National Institute of Advanced Studies. Several anti-Aadhaar websites have sprung up, and members of the parliament and prominent intellectuals have criticized the whole idea. A Christian sect even denounced it as a cover for introducing the number of the beast. Technically, Aadhaar is voluntary. No one is obligated to get scanned into the system, but that's like saying no American is obligated to get a social security number. In practice, once the Aadhaar system really takes hold, it will be extremely difficult for anyone to function without being part of it. According to China Daily, over 1.1 billion people have already received their new biometric ID cards as of January 2013. Many believe the mark of the beast will be a biochip implant. However, the biochip has proven much too insecure and prone to easy theft by cloning to gain acceptance. And the biochip can never be the mark of the beast. It can only tell you what one's identifying number or mark is. The mode is not the mark. It is only the means by which your account number is identified. There is a better and more secure technology, and it is already in use. As a matter of fact, all of these other modes, chips, cards, and other cyber-connected devices, are dependent upon ancient technology for final verification. Let's look at exactly what the scripture says about this mark of the beast. Revelation 13:16 reveals that the second beast causes all to receive it. Chapters 19, verse 20 says, "They that receive it are deceived," possibly meaning they are manipulated, or that they do not know the full implications of what they are doing. Many will choose to worship the image for a personal cause, benefits, career, safety, or out of fear. Chapter 14, verse 12 explains that those who do not receive it keep the commandments of God, and at some time may forfeit their lives by refusing, recanting, or not receiving the mark of the beast. Chapter 15, verse 2 talks about them that had gotten victory over the beast, and over his image, and over the mark, and over the number of his name, meaning that many who were deceived may repent and recant the use and participation in the beast identification system. This is contrary to the popular interpretation, which teaches that all who take the mark will be damned by God to be cast into the lake of fire, no exceptions. I believe the enemy has implemented this device to breed denial. But I serve a God who is big on forgiveness, and his word also says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. But we also understand, though we have all lied at some time, God's forgiveness makes an exception for all who will repent. True repentance of the mark of the beast will be no different, though in time it may cost you everything, including your life. And I must warn anyone who receives the mark of the beast intentionally, believing they will be able to repent later, it is unlikely they will ever come to that repentance. Now, I told you that there is a better and more secure technology already in use than the biochip, and it seems that both India and China agree. That ancient technology, created by God, is the individual's unique biology and the frontal lobe of the brain, the memory, what the Bible refers to as your forehead. And if you are like most people, you already have received some form of government, beast, identification number, or mark, and you can recite it at this very moment. With all of this biometric data collection going on, one thing remains in common among the nations implementing biometric ID systems. Every individual is issued a unique identifying account number. If the target date of the mark of the beast is in fact 2018, the question remains, will the world's population be numbered in time? Almost everyone I know in the good old USA is already numbered. The biometric data is simply for verification of any individual's account number. The mark of the beast will always require some form of biometric verification, the most secure of which is in your memory. Believing that it must be a biochip implant is a red herring, as is the Sunday worship is the mark of the beast teaching, along with the rapture 7-year tribulation deception. All of these make you feel safe now and ignore the fact that you already have a mark which will completely qualify when the time comes to transition to the final mark of the beast phase. We only need to move beyond the deceptions which maintain our denial. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. These scriptures describe two different types of money. Which one do you think will accompany the mark of the beast? The false balance, combined with usury, both which God hates, precisely describes the new monetary system that has now overtaken the entire world. Does one not need a certain identification number to participate in this new monetary creation process through usury credit? In other words, don't you need a certain government-issued identification number in order to qualify for a loan from your local bank? Does one not mortgage their life and labor for this privilege? And who has the power to create this money out of thin air? Just who do you become indebted to? The Bible tells exactly who. The dragon gave him his power. It also tells us that the borrower is a slave to the lender. The beast caused us all to receive the mark. But there are those who will recant or not receive the mark or withdraw even to the point of death. To buy or sell means that this will be a system of monetary identification. But because there are those who will not receive the mark of the beast, we may conclude that there will also be an underground economy. So there are and will continue to be two different monetary systems in these final years. The underground one will be based on trade in substance, a just weight and balance. In a lawful monetary system, no one needs an identification to participate. You simply need valuable consideration or substance to carry on your trade. But a usury monetary system requires some sort of identification to participate in creating money out of debt because slaves, the borrower is slave to the lender, slaves must be tracked and the whereabouts of their assets accounted for. Slaves must report to their masters. You're not going to like this part. I know I don't. In America, do you fill out a 1040 Inquisition form? Most have an ID, a mark, that identifies them by number as belonging to the government, a beast. It is a number which allows them to buy, sell, and work, open bank accounts, get credit in the beast monetary system. Did you sign up for one of these numbers, or did someone volunteer you? Wake up, repent. Come out of her, my people, and I will receive you. This is not a joke. Many are walking away from the SSN in the USA, the SIN in Canada, the NENO in Europe, etc. The beast has its numbering mark system for every country now. Walking away will be the only option for the elect of God. Wake up, repent. The kingdom is at hand. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." Revelation 18:4. Love of mammon is the root of all evil. Mammon is unjust gain and a false balance, which the Lord hates. All money created by the Fed, IMF, has a diminishing value for this very purpose, and the purpose of enslaving the masses through usury. It is no wonder that the New World Social Economic Order is now enlisting the masses by operation of planned financial crisis into a socialist benefit system, now using exclusively electronic benefit transfer to manipulate their victims into the precarious position of irrevocable dependence. When the final transformation to the Mark of the Beast system occurs, these people will be easily integrated and enslaved into the New World Social Economic Order, the real matrix of the mother of harlots. The elect of God, those who obey his commandments, know that the acceptance of socialist benefits is an unjust gain, and it bothers their conscience. It is the love of mammon to accept that unjust gain rather than obey the commandment and solely rely upon the provision of God, even at the danger of want. The just shall walk by faith. Some will be called to repentance and will not be able to continue to participate, especially upon the final transition into the Mark of the Beast monetary system. Many will be required to even walk away from their homes, hard-earned wealth, investments, and other pseudo-investments such as Social Security when that time comes. The choice to maintain riches and security for now, but forfeit the gospel prize, is no choice at all for the elect. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel 12:4.
It's not often I feel like lifting my hands and worship. It's not often I feel like singing a song of joy. But I'm often reminded of his ways, how he's so faithful. So I'll offer him the sacrifice of praise. All that is in me, all that I am, there's nothing I withhold from him. All that is in me, all that I am, will glorify the name. It's not often enough, my heart and spirit are broken. It's not often enough that he finds me on my knees. But so often he comes and his cleansing love and forgives me. So I'll offer him the sacrifice of praise. All that is in me, all that I am, there's nothing I would hold from him. All that is in me, all that I am, will glorify the Lamb. All that is in me, all that I am, there's nothing I would hold from him. All that is in me, all that I am, will glorify the Lamb. It's not often enough I see him through what he's given. It's not often enough I seek him in his word. But so often I stand amazed that I'm one he's chosen. So I'll offer him the sacrifice of praise. All that is in
thank you.